good to be here this morning. Mostly, it's good to be with a lot of friends and talking about the Word of God. You know, we had a lot going on in our lives now, and I see a lot more now than usual, but on top of it, we still have all of our daily ups and downs, our daily trials and tribulations. The devil's really working hard to try and get each and every one of us to lose our faith in God, to give up on our hope in God. But, you know, too great of a price has been paid for the hope that we have. Jesus Christ, and we just sang about the blood, shed his blood, that each and every one of us can have forgiveness of our sins this morning. It's probably already aware of with my lessons and teachings and all, I like to simplify my studies. I feel like if I can get it down to simplified enough that I can understand it, then anybody can understand it. But I find it fascinating when someone takes an everyday common occurrence and uses it to help others see God. I mean, when we look at something, we can say that's the worst thing in the world. Well, we can look at it and say, you know, God's going to help me through this. We can see the good in everything if we look at it with the right perspective. But you might remember I even used a lawnmower. I've used a pencil and a few other things just to simplify. But not only myself, but we see this done quite often in the Bible. How they would take and use simple, common things to help others see God. And once you see God, you realize that not only does God have his fingerprints on the situation, but that he is the dominant figure in the situation. I read an article that got me thinking about this. And at first I couldn't imagine how it could possibly be true with all the technology and everything that we have today. But however, sadly, after giving it some thought, I can see how it can be true. The article was started off, they got my attention, said that a lot of people in our world have never seen, touched, or read a Bible. They would not know what it was if they saw the Bible, heard something read from it. They never heard of our Jehovah God. They never heard of his son Jesus Christ. They never knew the story, the love, how he gave his life on the cross. He shed his blood that we can have forgiveness of our sins. It went on to say that they know absolutely nothing of God's Spirit. But then it asked a question, and this is what gets you thinking. Let's suppose for a moment that while you were attending a religious activity, that you were asked to read some scripture that people would recognize as scripture from the Word of God. You select the scripture. You do the reading. The only request is that it has to be a scripture that likely everyone present would recognize it as being from the Bible. Because there's a lot of good sayings that you'd think was in the Bible, but they're not. But the question is, what scripture would you pick? Talked to a couple of people, and of course, right off, John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. But what do you regard as the most recognized scripture in the entire Bible? Now, as I said, most of us would select the scripture from the New Testament, because scripture from the New Testament are what we're more familiar to us. But from my understanding, is that the most recognized scripture does not come from the New Testament. I'm told that the most recognized scripture from the Bible is Psalms 23:1-6. Psalms 23:1-6, where it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restored my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In Psalms 23, David did just what I appreciate and admire. He took a common, everyday occurrence in typical life and used it to cause people to see God. And he done it very successfully. Nothing was more common in David's world than a shepherd and his sheep. Sheep were extremely important to people's survival in that day and time. It was an agricultural world. Even in the villages, it was quite common to see a shepherd leading a flock of sheep out to graze or to drink. Now, if a person traveled through any area, very likely he saw a shepherd and his flock of sheep several times on his journey. David took what people saw every day and caused them to see God. How many opportunities have we passed up to help others see God in certain situations? No matter what the situation may be, maybe it's a happy and joyous time. God's there. Maybe it's a trying and troublesome time. God's there. Maybe it's a time when our hearts are grieved. God's there. God is with each and every one of us. If God's not with us, then we're the ones that moved. We're the ones that need to move back into that relationship and do what we need to get it right with God. For almost 3,000 years, David's simple analogy on something commonplace has spoken to the hearts and the minds of people. Many of us have probably never really seen a flock of sheep in our travels. A lot of us have probably never seen a shepherd in the Middle East. But even though that is not our daily experience, what David said still speaks to our hearts and our minds today. What he was saying was, God was the shepherd. David was the sheep. We need to look at that as God is the shepherd. We are his sheep. The basic relationship between the shepherd and sheep was used by David to define his daily relationship with God. We can use that same analogy to observe our relationship with God. The basic relationship was one of absolute trust. We must put our trust, our absolute trust, in our Heavenly Father. It was the trust that is the soul of what you and I call faith. Faith is the key to saving of our souls. And that's what the devil's going to, he's going to have his lines running throughout the universe, all throughout, going to and fro on earth. He's going to have his lines trying to devour God's sheep, each and every one of us. Fundamentally, faith is trusting. But not just trusting. Faith is trusting enough to take action. We know what God said for us to do. We know what God said for us not to do. It's going to be our faith that's going to drive us to be obedient to God. Now this morning, I want us to focus your attention on one statement in Psalms 23. That statement is found in Psalms 23, verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Now, is this saying that I'll throw all caution to the wind and I'll just go on my daily life and God take care of me? No, by no means. He's saying here that if we will obey his words, if we would take the actions, God would go with us. But you know, God give us our common sense. We know what we need to do to protect ourselves. If you go into war, you need your weapons. If you go out to talk to someone about God, you need your weapons. You need your Bible with you. We need to study God's word. If you go out to an infectious area, you need the personal protection items. It's not saying God's going to throw a blanket over us and take care of us. He's going to say that he's there and take care of us as long as we're obedient to him. But yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. The phrase, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, can also be accurately translated to, though I walk through the valley of deep darkness, I will fear no harm. It was demanding difficult work to find water and pastures for a flock of sheep in an open range in the Middle East. When we think of pastures and waters, I go back to my Westerns. We are more likely to think of lush green grass, just as far as the eye can see. Either slow running streams or still ponds, the perfect setting. But according to God's word and the description that I get out of it, in David's time, an abundance of water and fertile soil was not commonly used for pasture, but it was used to grow grain for farming. But pasture and sheep commonly included a lot of traveling because grass was thin and scattered. But the shepherd constantly thought, where can I next take my flock when they have nothing left here in the graves? There's a story in a documentary by David Chadwell that helps illustrate what I'm talking about here. He told of a story, said in 1980 that he had the joy of being with his father in Palestine on a tour. Said one day as the tour bus was in the wilderness of southern Palestine, that he passed a shepherd and his sheep. The sheep were scattered along the borders on the hillside grazing. The sheep was so sparse that you could not see it. In fact, he said all you could see was brown ground, brown rocks, and brown boulders. He said, my dad loved farms and pastures and cattle. He looked at that scene for a few moments, wondering what the sheep found to eat, and said, when I get home, I'm going to tell my cows how good they really have it. You know, it's the same thing we can look at ourselves. This shepherd is constantly thinking, not only for the safety of the sheep, but for the necessity of the sheep, to keep them happy, healthy. Same thing with our Heavenly Father. He's always looking out for us. Now, we find ourselves in situations we wish we wasn't there, but it's because we were like that one sheep that went astray. It was common for sheep to graze in low areas where the grass grew and the waters flowed. But often those places were surrounded by high cliffs. The only way to go from one area to another was to pass through a narrow pass between the cliffs. The cliff was so high that the pass was deep in the shadows. And as Marshal Matt Dillon would say, it was the perfect situation for an ambush. All kinds of wild animals lie in wait in these shadows. These animals don't just stand out in the opening, waiting for the sheep to walk by them. They're going to crash down. They're going to hide behind stuff. The same thing with the devil today. He's going to hide behind pleasurable-looking things. He's going to hide behind beauty to try and trap us into it. But the deep darkness of the long past might quickly become the valley of death. No sheep would choose to enter such deep darkness with its possible hidden dangers. These sheep would travel through such darkness and uncertainty for only one reason. They trusted the shepherd. And that's like each and every one of us today. As I tell people, we're traveling through uncharted waters today. The only way we can safely get through these uncharted waters is with our trust, our love, and our support of our loving Heavenly Father. What would have been a terrifying situation became a situation in which there was no harm for one reason. The sheep trusted the shepherd, and they obeyed the shepherd. The shepherd would take care of them, so they followed him into those deep shadows. Now note here I said that they followed the shepherd. They didn't just run aimlessly wild on their own. These sheep chose to walk through the deep shadows, the valleys of death. The shepherd did not drive them through the path, forcing them to do something that they did not choose to do. But he was there willingly to lead them to safety. The shepherd did not make them go through the path, but they chose to follow through the path because they knew that he would take care of them in this dark valley path and even beyond. The shepherd knew where he was going. He knew there would be grass and water there. The same thing with our Heavenly Father as our shepherd. He knows where we're going. If we're obedient sheep and safely follow the shepherd, then we're going to a wonderful home in heaven. But if we spur off and do things and go on our own, the Bible tells me it won't be such a wonderful place. When God is our shepherd, he would lead us through places that we would never go without his leadership. Like, take just one example from David's life, probably the example that he's best known for. Why did David fight Goliath? David, probably a teenage boy, up against a giant who was 9 feet tall. Why would such a young boy go up against a giant like that? Because he knew that our Heavenly Father, his God, is even bigger than that giant. For 40 days, Goliath did not defile the armies of Israel. And not one man in Israel's army answered Goliath's challenge. Now, if none of the men answered the challenge, are we talking about men of war, warriors? They wouldn't accept the challenge, but this young boy did. I'm going to allow David to answer that question for himself. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 26. 1 Samuel 17 and 26 says, "Then David spoke to the men who were standing by him, saying, 'What will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should taunt the armies of the living God?'" Then we go a little further down in 1 Samuel chapter 17 to verse 37. 1 Samuel 17 verse 37. And David said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion, from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go and may the Lord be with you." That's the way we have to look at this coronavirus thing. The God that delivered David out of the hands of this giant, out of the paws of the lion, out of the paws of the bear, he will deliver us. Now when we pray and ask for God's guidance and God to handle stuff, we're not guaranteed he's going to do it the way we want it handled, but he's going to do it the best way for us. Because all we see is the right here, right now, the microwave effect. God sees the overall picture. The basis of David's willingness to respond to Goliath was the fact that this man insulted God, and that simply could not be. How many of us would be willing to stand up, even though that our life is in danger, stand up to someone who is insulting our God? Or would we say, "Well, I don't have time to bother with that one," or "I'm not wasting my time on that one"? You know, we can't We can't look at a person and say that person's so bad that there's no use to be trying to talk to him about God. Because in my eyes, nothing can be worse than someone going out killing people just because they're worshiping God. That was Saul. But God seen something wonderful in that man. Changed him. Showed him God's way. And Paul turned out to be the best messenger for God. We need to stand up for God no matter what it's going to cost us. And it said, David trusted the Lord to lead him through the dark shadows. And because of the Lord, he was not afraid. Jesus trusted in God, allowed him to follow God through the deep shadows of crucifixion. We can even ask the question, why there? Why did Jesus go through crucifixion? Because Jesus knew that life and death was about God and not about himself. And following God meant accepting the cross. He would accept the cross and place his trust in God. You know, we who are Christians understand the same thing. Life and death is not about us. It's about God. Life and death are about God, not ourselves. We work hard making sure our families have a nice place for our retirement here on earth. We should work even harder making sure that they got the right place for our retirement in eternity. Okay. Interestingly though, after Paul contrasted the deeds of the flesh with the fruit of the Spirit, he wrote a wonderful statement. Galatians chapter 5, verse 24. Galatians 5 and 24. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. The simple question that we each face today is, where are the lions hiding? We know the lions are hiding there somewhere to devour us. Most of us do not want to risk losing life. So we're very interested in knowing where these lions are actually hiding. Where is this ambush going to take place? It's easy for us to conclude that the lions are lying in wait to destroy us in that deep shadows where God would lead us. But I can tell you that those lions are not found in following God. Those lions are hiding. They are seeking to destroy each and every one of us that are following God. The lions are hiding in the shadows of materialism, not in following the Lord. The lions are hiding in the shadows of addictions, not in following the Lord. The lions are hiding in the shadows of selfishness, not in following the Lord. The lions are found in the shadows of arrogance, not in following the Lord. You need to find these lions hiding out in the shadows of godlessness, not in following the Lord. When you follow evil forces, you're on your own. And the lions will destroy you. Now, of course, when you're going down the wrong road, when you're following these evil forces, you got a powerful leader. He's going to lead you right on into damnation. But he's not strong enough, not powerful enough to pull you out of that and to save your soul. Our Heavenly Father is. In closing, I just want us to read verses in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 32 through chapter 12, verse 2. I know it's kind of a lengthy reading, but I think it's beneficial to us. Starting in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32. And what shall I more say? For the time will fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed violent in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they may attain a better resurrection. Others have trials of cruel mockings, of scourging, yet moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskin and goatskin, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having attained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better things for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with such great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, and the sin which doeth so easily beset us, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And then ending up in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand of the throne of God. We talked to you a little bit this morning. I took some basically everything, lively things. David took some common things in his life and helped people see God. I hope that when you go out this morning, and from here on, when you see something, the first thing that's going to pop in your mind is, how can I see God in that? And then hopefully the second thing is going to be, how can I show others God in that? So when you see people worrying and fearing and stuff, there's your opportunity. Open that door and talk to them. Let them have that same peace of mind, that same hope of going through whatever trials and tribulation that we're facing, because we know we have the right shepherd and we're on the right track. Now, we've all been baptized, maybe you need to be baptized, or maybe you've done like that one sheep of the 100 sheep, you spread off to the side. You've got out of following the shepherd. You need the prayers, the encouragement of the congregation to help you get back on the track. While we still have a chance, we ask you to come forward this morning and sing our song of invitation.